Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On our board again, you know, we talk about the board talking to you. He was standing out. He was elevated on the board at a spot, so we kind of work lateral and see who else is up there. And he was the number one in our priority list. We take the board before, obviously, all this kicks off and we sequence it. And he was the top sequence guy on our board.
The voice of Bears general manager Ryan Poles addressing the assembled media after the pick of Dylan Thienemann. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score, hour number two. In the midst of the second round of the NFL draft, our coverage here on The Score of the NFL draft and the Bears selections will take you up to Cubs pregame on The Score. The Cubs are facing the Dodgers. Big series there, but still fairly early in the baseball season, of course. So we're in football mode right now, as we do love, as the Bears continue to increase their coffers. So let's go out to The Score hotline, where our guy Herb Howard is stationed at Hallis Hall. You hear his voice here on The Score. You read his work at the Bigs, and you follow him on social media at Herb Howard 411. What's up, Herb? How you doing this evening?
Big Ant, I'm good, man. How you feeling?
I am exceptional, because the board fell in place for the Bears last night. They got starter at safety, and so now we see what night two brings. I'm struck by the pace of this draft. Last night moved quick, and it feels like the second round is moving pretty quickly as well. Does that stand out to you?
No, it's moving kind of quick. I thought that it might. Initially, I was talking with Tyler about coming on here with you about 7:25. I'm like, they might actually be picking around them the way this thing is moving. So he graciously bumped it up. So, yeah, it's definitely moving at a quick pace. And the board is still looking pretty decent for the Bears, depending on what they want to do.
So as you look at it right now, with the Bears getting Thienemann, and I'm struck by the fact that Emmanuel McNeil Warren is still there. Now, you know, he is a player who I viewed as being more one-dimensional by comparison with Thienemann, but he is one of those guys, and we're thinking best player available. There was so much conversation comparing not only Caleb Downs, but Thienemann and McNeil Warren. Does it surprise you that McNeil Warren is still sitting out there?
Definitely does surprise me. I thought he had a chance to go last night. I thought he had an opportunity to come here, potentially, depending on which one they like more. Obviously, they like Dylan a lot more. I thought he was a better fit for what they want to do. But I think that McNeil Warren is a very good player. I think he brings size and some versatility. He's got some range on him. He's got some, you know, ball production, ability to punch the ball out as well. So I'm surprised that he's still on the board. Somebody's going to get a pretty good football player.
Now that you got a chance to see Dylan Thienemann in person and to hear from him, Listen to him, what were your impressions of the Bears' new safety?
Thought he was impressive. Seems straightforward. Seems like a guy that's all football. You know, he doesn't have a ton to say in terms of his responses to certain questions, but looks like he's ready to get here and get in the playbook and get out on the grass and get to work. So I think you like his mentality coming in right now. You certainly like the things that you saw on tape. We heard Ryan Poles talk yesterday about his football character, his competitive makeup. And so I think all of those things are things that you really, really like. One of the things that jumped out to me about Ryan Poles speaking yesterday was Tim talking about just how strict and how aggressive they were in terms of identifying players who fit exactly what they were looking for and then crossing all other players off of their board in a way that they've never done before. So you know that they got a guy that they really coveted, that they think fits in well, and nothing he did today served to kind of dispel any of that.
That stood out to me as well, the comment from Poles about how aggressive they were in basically kind of narrowing their board to suit where they're at as a franchise, where Ben Johnson and his coaching staff are at with their preferences. Do you feel like that's Poles maturing in his role of GM? Do you feel like that's the influence of Ben Johnson being very direct with what they're looking for?
Yes. I think it's a bit of both. I think certainly when you have a coaching staff that has a legitimate direction, a sense of exactly what it is that they want to do and how they want to get there, I think that helps the personnel department in terms of going out and acquiring the players that they need to complete said mission. I don't think that that vision was ever clear before this particular coaching staff took over. I don't think the previous coaching staff had that vision for themselves, and I don't think they were able to communicate that to Ryan Poles and his staff either. I don't really even think that Ryan Poles had a ton of say-so in hiring, you know, his first head coach. I think they had already, kind of narrowed down to three options and said, you can pick one. And he's like, oh, well, I'm on the same page. I would have picked them anyway. Like, that doesn't make a ton of sense. But, you know, I think when you get an opportunity to truly conduct your own search, bring in the person that you absolutely want, and the organization puts the resources behind you to be able to acquire that person, then you come in and there's some shared vision. There's a real sense of alignment. And I think that allows you to go out and more accurately identify the players who fit the scheme, the system, and the vision.
You can join in with the Twitch mob where you can see Herb Howard, twitch.tv/TheScoreChicago. I don't know why the Twitch mob is loving Herb so much. Is it just that clean shaven face? Is it because of the deep voice? Is it the information? It is probably all of the above. Herb, as far as the next position then, since they've gotten Dylan Thienemann at safety, we're watching the board play out. Where do you feel like is the next spot the Bears need to target most?
You know what? I'm really in a space where I'm okay with them sticking to the board and legitimately going best player available. I don't think there's a position that they could draft.
What if it's a wideout, Herb? What if it's a wideout?
Tight end. If it's a wideout, I'm okay with it. If they really think that there's a wideout on the board that says, hey, we had this guy as maybe the 30th or 35th ranked prospect in the entire draft, and he's sitting here for us at 57, and then the other guys around him, while they may be at more of a need position, they don't rank as high on our board as he does, go for it. Listen, I think that you just want to bring in as many good football players as you can. I'm not ignorant to the fact that they need to improve their pass rush. I'm not ignorant to the fact that they could use help at corner or left tackle. I get that. But I also like the idea of sticking true to the board and bringing in as many good football players as you can. Everything else will kind of work itself out. I also feel really, really good about the coaching staff, Big Ant, and that's what allows me to kind of have some peace of mind about the areas of deficiency that they have. You look at what I think they're going to be able to, or they're going to have to do at left tackle to kind of maybe mask some insecurities, if you will. I think they'll be able to do that through design. I think they'll be able to do that through their 12 personnel packages and using the tight ends to help out. I think they can do the same thing when you talk about, you know, corner. You look at what, you know, Coach Al Harris and his defensive staff was able to do with Nashawn Wright last year. But also you look at what happened with the linebackers last season. And when, you know, their starters got hurt, the production did not fall off. You had DeMarco Jackson come in and continue to be productive. You had Ogbon Gbemigha come in and continue to be productive. And so this is a coaching staff that has shown itself able to elevate the players that they have around them. And so I'm not super concerned. Would I like there to be a surefire stud rushing off the edge like Big Ant at Iowa? Absolutely. I would love to see that. But, you know, I'm also okay if they just choose to go best player available. I really am.
When you look at the fact that the Bears will have the 25th pick in the second round, the 28th pick in the second round, it does make me wonder if there's a world where Ryan Poles end up seeing a particular player that he covets and makes a move and trades up. And I know last night when we were talking, you said you're good with them being patient, standing pat and seeing how the board falls. Do you still feel that way?
That is how I feel. But like you said, they do have the ammunition to move up if they absolutely love a player, or they absolutely see a player that continues to slide down the board to where he gets in striking range for them. And they're like, hey, we didn't see this happening, you know, in our wildest dreams. Let's go ahead and go get him. Then go get him. You know, who that player is, who they've identified to maybe be that guy, I'm not sure. But if they do that, it'll certainly be a clear sign that it's somebody that they identified that they thought might go much earlier in the process. And as he slid closer and closer to him, they thought it was worthwhile to jump up and get him. So if we see that, we'll know it's a player that they absolutely love. If they don't do that, which would be my preference, kind of just sit back and let the board come to you, I'm certainly good with that. But if they do so, then I'll have some pretty high expectations for the player that they draft.
What did you make of Ryan Poles talking about sleeping good last night. He said it in his usual sort of calm, composed tone, but he usually at least verbally communicates a sense of urgency, maybe even tension at times. He's talking about sleeping good last night. I did feel like that was a more relaxed frame of reference than he normally would have made in the past. What'd you make of that?
Well, two things. One, I want to be clear because I've heard this conversation a few times today, and what he said was, I was able to get a little sleep last night, right? He didn't actually say, I slept good last night. He was like, I was actually able to get a little sleep. So there's a little bit of a difference in those two things. That's number one. But number two, I do think that we're seeing Ryan Poles in a much more comfortable version of himself. I think he has, you know, the security that he wants in terms of his own job positioning. I think he also has a level of comfort and confidence in what he's doing. I think, again, it goes back to, you know, having a shared, clear vision with the people that you're working around that gives you a sense of confidence about where we're going and how we're going to get there. I don't think that they've had that before. I asked him down at the annual league meetings in Arizona last month, like, is he more comfortable? And also, would that comfort allow him to do things that perhaps he would not have done previously? You think about, you know, bringing in a guy like Jalen Carter. He's like, we can't touch that at the time. And now Dunner Wright has worked himself into an All-Pro, so it's not really a big conversation like that anymore. But if that type of situation were to arise again, would you feel more comfortable dipping into, you know, those uncertain waters than you were then? He said, I would, but it will still depend on what it is we're risking. You know what I mean? And so I think we absolutely are seeing a more comfortable version of Ryan Poles. I think part of it is just due to time on task and how long he's been doing what he's doing. But also there's a great sense of comfort, of confidence, and of awareness now that you've brought in Ben Johnson, his coaching staff, and the vision that they all have together.
Is there a general temperature amongst the Bears beat that you're out there with right now of what direction they think things will go, what position they think the Bears will target tonight?
No, I think everybody's pretty much on the same page in terms of, you know, their need to add to the defensive front, right? And so I think everybody's kind of expecting to see edge or D tackle. I am too, to be honest with you. I'm just saying I'm okay with them going, you know, best player available. So if they do go outside of that, I won't be as shocked or disappointed maybe as some people might be. But I think the general consensus around here is probably the same as it is everywhere. They need to address the defensive front. And I think if anybody up here was willing to bet on it, that's where they would go.
Well, Herb, we'll see. We're going to be here for another hour and a half or so for this particular evening. Once the Bears are on the clock, once the Bears make a pick, we'll see how time's up. Hopefully we'll get you back involved later in the show with that part of the conversation.
Yeah, let's do it. I know they're going to pick at 57. If nothing changes, they'll pick at 57 and 60. Then we're going to hear from Trey Kozio about both of those players. And we'll have some Zooms with those guys and jump back in here and talk to you for sure.
All right. Appreciate it, man. You go out there and have whatever brownies or snacks or whatever they provide for you guys. You update us on that later, too.
I got you.
All right. That is Herb Howard of the Bigs. You can find him on social media at Herb Howard 411. The one player the Bears have picked so far, of course, in the first round was at pick number 25 last night. That was Dylan Thienemann of Purdue and Oregon. Many of you have likely been at work throughout the day and things happened late into the evening last night. This may be your first opportunity to truly hear from the newest member of the Chicago Bears now that he was here in Chicago today. You'll get an opportunity. For those of you who haven't, you will hear from Dylan Thienemann, some of the highlights, some of my analysis, and the man himself. We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Night 2 draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Anthony Herron.
We got the pace and the tempo. We're keeping track of it here as the NFL draft continues. It's a big voice guy. I told you, I'm Anthony Herron here on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3. The score at round two. Got some of the key players, at least players I viewed as key, that have come off the board so far. So right now we are through 19 picks of the second round. The Bears will be at pick number 25. There have been a few transactions here as we've gotten deeper into round number two. So we'll get into some audio here of Dylan Thiemann. If something wild does happen, if the Bears make a trade and they're going to be on the clock, we'll certainly break out of any of this Thiemann audio. But we know there's folks who've kind of been doing their thing. We may have heard about the Bears drafting Thiemann, but haven't heard from him, from the man himself. And, of course, he began his college career at Purdue the first two seasons. He came out of high school, played as a true freshman, started as a true freshman, Big Ten Freshman of the Year, and an All-American there for the Boilermakers on Ryan Walters' team. And then spent his third season, his final season in college football with the Oregon Ducks. Let's give you a little sense, utilizing one of my favorite theme songs from the cartoon world, Darkwing Duck. And as Dylan Thiemann was making all those plays for the Oregon Ducks, I felt like, because many of you may remember this, it was an early 1990s cartoon. It was a part of a Disney afternoon sort of wrap-up. They had like a two-hour block of cartoons like DuckTales and Darkwing Duck and a couple of others that were all there. I felt like this theme song really suited what Dylan Thiemann is looking to mean for the Bears.
Bryant got it away late, and Thiemann over to make the play. That great range and free safety. Bryant Thiemann with the pick.
This is real. Watch him track this ball all the way down. Really well done by Thiemann from the middle of the field.
They get the Pena. Allo, sideline. Oh, it's picked! Dylan Thiemann calls game. That's a walk-off whiteout winner for the Ducks.
I'm sure some of you remember that one. Maybe many of you remember that one, especially if you're over like 35 to 40 years old. Remember Darkwing Duck, what that was in a Disney afternoon. What else was it? There was DuckTales, there was Darkwing Duck, there was Chippendales, Rescue Rangers. I'm blanking on one of them that was also part of that Disney afternoon. But there was like a two-hour block of those. But for the time Dylan Thiemann spent with the Oregon Ducks after his Purdue career, he talked to the media about that, and I've had a chance to interview Dylan Thiemann and call his games over the few seasons that he played in the Big Ten, and he's from right nearby in Indiana, of course. Even one of the callers we had last night during our first round draft coverage compared him to Doug Plank. It was a caller who was from Lafayette, Indiana, who watched the entire time that Thiemann was there with the Boilermakers, said he feels like the Bears have gotten the modern version of Doug Plank. Now, I don't know if we're going to see where, when Plank was with the Bears, he wore number 46. So Buddy Ryan termed the Bears championship winning defense as the 46 defense. If Thiemann wears number 31 while he's here with the Bears, I don't know that we're going to name a defense after him. There's going to be the 31 defense if DA is going to go that route with it. But a lot of excitement for what he has the potential to become with the Bears. But he was flown here to Chicago, addressed the media earlier today, and one of the first things that he talked about was just how being here with the Bears, what it means to him. And when you really factor in the way that the Bears went about their selection and the excitement that's there for Thiemann, you look at it. Actually, I'm speaking of looking at it because I'm right now sifting through not only the draft board itself, but getting back to the audio where I have it. So the positivity coming out of the combine and the time that Dylan Thiemann spent with the Bears. Here's the man himself.
Overall, I felt like there was a lot of positive energy going around. It felt easy. It was great to talk to the team. Like, they had a lot of guys in there. And then me sitting in like the one chair that's kind of standing out. But They're just asking some background questions, talking through some film, and they had me get on the whiteboard a little bit.
And as he was going through that process and addressing things with the Bears, of course, all these different prospects end up hearing where they're expected to go, which teams are going to be targeting them, which schemes may end up fitting them. And so they're having the conversations with the teams themselves, but then they're hearing the draft industrial complex talking about them in great detail as well. So one of the things that was asked of Dylan Thienemann is, after consuming all this different information with folks talking about you, where did he think he was going to go?
Overall, like, we had ideas of where I might go, but in the moment, I kind of just stayed calm and prayed. I hope I got to the right spot, and I think this was the right spot. So, I mean, through the process, like, we talked at the combine. They showed their interest. I heard a lot from them, like, through other people, and then it all worked out in the end.
Now, Ryan Walters was the head coach. We had Kevin Kane on the station earlier today, who was the defensive coordinator while Dylan Thienemann was at Purdue. So those 2 seasons that he was in West Lafayette playing for the Boilermakers, you had Kevin Kane as the DC, and he and Ryan Walters had been together in multiple stops. So while Walters was the head coach of Purdue, he was also overseeing the defense. So you had that situation Thienemann was in his first 2 seasons, had the 6 interceptions his freshman year, and then he made that transition to the Oregon Ducks. And in a similar fashion, he had a defensive head coach overseeing the defensive coordinator, but he played in the Tosh Lupoi defensive scheme. And one thing that Dan Lanning, as a young head coach in his own right, is already known for is being very task-oriented, very detail-oriented, and being very demanding of his players. So Dylan Thienemann was asked today about what it was like in college being coached as hard as he was.
In the recruiting process, like, out of high school and transferring in college, it's more like the player picks. So a lot of people are, I guess, like, sugarcoating it or trying to talk you up. And talking with Hamp, talking with Lanning, like, they didn't sugarcoat anything. They told me exactly, like, we think you're a good player. This is what you need to work on. This is how we can get you better. This is how we develop guys in the past. And to see those examples and see how they had a plan for me made a very easy decision.
That's one thing to have a plan. That's great. You still need, of course, a talented player who comes in and is able to be a playmaker for you, is able to execute on the field. And Dylan Thienemann was certainly able to do that. And part of the reason was, not only does he have these exceptional physical traits with the speed, with the range, with the fluidity, with the burst, the ball skills, all those things matter. But of course, to really reach the peak of your performance, you've got to really have a passion for the game. He comes from a football family, some older brothers, his dad, a lot of guys who've been around the sport. And Dylan Thienemann was asked where his passion for the game comes from.
It starts with the little kid, the 4-year-old me, looking up at that TV, being like, hey, it's going to be me out there. But then it goes into to see my family, my brothers do it, see my parents, how they work in their businesses, and really watching my brothers out there on the field, wanting to be out there with them. And then I'm someone, I think, like, if I really love something, I'm going to put all my energy, all my work into it.
He's always been a pretty composed guy, but understandably, season by season, as he's played in major college football, and certainly that enhanced stage after the 2 seasons at Purdue, all the individual accolades that he achieved there. Then once he transferred to Oregon, he joined up with a team who had national championship goals this past season. And, you know, the Ducks end up making the college football playoff and had a nice performance against Texas Tech in the CFP. But for Thienemann himself to sort of realize his individual hopes, his aspirations, his dreams, part of that was the adjustment that was made from the defensive scheme of Ryan Walters at Purdue to that Dan Lanning scheme that he was in at Oregon. And it was adjusted. He was more of a single high safety, more of a center fielder type throughout much of his time at Purdue. And I think a lot of that was also by necessity, because he was a younger guy, wasn't as physically mature as he became after a few seasons of college football. But once he got to Eugene, he was challenged by playing more near the line of scrimmage on a more frequent basis. And the term that, you know, common football parlance refers to that as the rover, the way he was utilized during this final season in Eugene with the Ducks. Dylan Thiemann was asked about that today, just how that ended up enhancing his versatility.
That position really allows you to play fast. You can be aggressive in the run game because a lot of times just the distance I'm off from the line of scrimmage, I'm the extra unblocked defender. And then the pass game, that playing that rover role, you're kind of that middle of the field. So you're what the offense most likely like wants to target a lot of times. So that just allowed me a lot more opportunities to get around the ball, get more experience, and just think about what the offense is trying, what they're showing me in their formations and or situations and what they're trying to attack.
It's one thing to know that through the game plan that he's studied, that his coaches have studied, and knowing where the opponents are going to try to attack them offensively. But for Thiemann to be able to disguise, to pull it off, to have decisive plays late, that sort of knack for the dramatic showed up a lot this past season, not only as a pass defender, but as a run defender as well. His run support was somewhere that his game really did take a big leap this past season. And for Thiemann himself, you know, he's looked up to some of the better safeties in the history of the sport, as many young football players do. Once you get a sense for what position you're going to continue to play, then you start to watch the older guys, the guys playing college football, the guys playing pro football, and frankly, just kind of see, do I fit in with what that individual is doing? And Thiemann was asked about his influences as he grew up watching the sport of football.
I liked watching or going back and watching once I was older, like Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed. And then currently I watch various players around the league. So I like to kind of like take a little bit, see where I can learn something and then kind of make it my own.
So it sounds great. You know, if you get them out of your game after a couple of the all-time greats, as most of us do, you know, I can hear a few of the collective eyes probably rolling out there like, well, of course, you know, it'd be great if he was Troy Polamalu, if he was Ed Reed. Who knows if he's going to be either of those individuals. I've told you guys here on the station, I've talked about it on multiple platforms here in the city, I think he compares pretty favorably with Kevin Byard in not only his physical abilities, but in the style of play that he ended up sort of being featured in between his Purdue time and his Oregon time with the Ducks. And so I'll be fascinated to see how Dennis Allen goes about deploying the two different safeties, because both Kobe Bryant and Dylan Thiemann are both really versatile in what they bring to the table. So the 22nd pick in the second round has been made at this point. So we're a few picks away from the Bears being on the clock. Let's go ahead and we'll do that, Tyler. We can take a quick short timeout. We'll come right back. And as we do return here, we'll be moments away from the Bears making their second round pick in the draft. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Night 2 draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Anthony Herron.
22 picks are known in the second round. At the moment, the Chicago Bears will still be picking in the 25th position. So we're just minutes away from the Bears making their second round selection, the first of their two picks that they have here in the second round of the NFL draft. I'm Anthony Herron. Got Tyler Farrengold and David Dykstra on the other side of the glass for me this evening on The Score. And it does appear that a name that the text line has been eager for, that the Twitch mob has been eager for, seeing the name all over our YouTube stream as well, the Illini's Gabe Akis has just come off the board to the New England Patriots. So that is an edge defender that some of the folks were mocking to the Bears on day two of the draft, and just a few picks, frankly, a couple of picks before they select at the 23rd pick of the second round, Gabe Akis of the Illinois Fighting Illini comes off the board. If he would have still been available when the Bears came on the clock at fifth pick number 57, 25th pick in this second round, then I'm pretty confident that they would have had a good, strong look at Gay Backus for one of these guys who, and I compare him favorably to, but differently from Derek Moore of Michigan, a couple of guys who do have good statistical production, but how consistently they impact the game was a little bit up and down, a little bit inconsistent from one game to the next. But to tap into that consistency at the next level, I think the Bears certainly have a coaching staff that has shown that they can do that. But Ackett's a more physical player than Moore. Both are Big Ten football and defenses that value defending the run. But Gayback is just a stronger player at the point of attack. Not as much burst and juice as far as being, you know, a pure edge rusher with the way he can turn the corner and finish at the QB. But both those guys now off the board. So we're just a couple of picks away from the Bears making their selection, waiting to see what the Jacksonville Jaguars will end up doing. 312-644-6767. Feel free to text. Feel free to call as the Bears make their selection. We can not only read some of your predictions that I'll get to here in a moment that I see on the text line and in the Twitch feed and in our YouTube chat that's going on, but certainly after the pick is made, we'll get to your reactions that are there. There's some folks that I'm looking at on the text chat right here still hopeful. The 224, hoping the Bears will end up trading back, looking for more draft picks that are there. Appreciate the 708, by the way, reminding me not only Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers, but Tailspin, one of the other cartoons that was there. We played a Darkwing Duck a bit earlier in the Dylan Thiemann highlight package that Tyler Farringold put together for us. But right now, the pick has been made by the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've taken a tight end out of Texas A&M, Nate Borkercher. So the Chicago Bears are now on the clock. We will find out in just a few moments who the Bears have selected with the 25th pick of the second round in the NFL draft. So right now the Bears still at pick number 25, and then they will be on the clock again at pick number 28 in round number 2. The positions that are still available to the Bears, as you see it with them on the clock, we've all been talking about defensive line and what that could mean to continue to bolster what they're looking to do in their defensive front. So they've certainly got that potential here. Some of the key players, some of the picks that would have excited me, even a guy like Zion Young, who I didn't love when the mock draft complex was mocking him to the Bears in the first round. If he would have gotten a player like that in the second round, I would have felt better about it. Zion Young gone, TJ Parker gone, Keldrick Falk went in the first round. Gayback has just recently came off the board. So we'll see as far as the defensive line position, if that's a space that the Bears still feel comfortable and confident in going with the selection that they are about to make in just a moment. And now the pick is in for the Chicago Bears. So we will just be hearing that in one moment for who the Bears have selected in the second round of the NFL draft. And for the guys themselves, for the Bears, for the organization, another defensive player, it does feel like would make a lot of sense if that's the direction they end up going here. We're waiting to get the official word for who the Bears have selected in round number 2, the 25th pick in the second round of the NFL draft. With the Bears doing that and just being on the clock still, they're saying the pick is in, so we're waiting for the official word on who it is for the Bears. We will certainly get that to you as soon as it is available somewhere here. Now, my guess is that, you know, we've all been talking about the defensive side of the football. We had Herb Howard on just a few minutes ago, and Herb said he's okay with sort of the world being the Bears' oyster. And I get that. I can respect that. I'm certainly hopeful that it's going to be someone who plays somewhere in that defensive front seven. Now, you know, Jacob Rodriguez, a player who at linebacker can make the case that he would have the potential to come in and fight for a starting job with just where the Bears linebacker is positioned right now with some of the injuries that they're dealing with. He's off the board. So what other linebackers could they get at this point in round number 2 that you'd feel great about? I don't see it being an off-ball linebacker, but someone in the defensive front is certainly my hope for what the Bears would be looking to do if that ends up being the case once they make this pick in the draft. So we are awaiting the official word for who the Bears have selected, but the pick is in at this point in the NFL draft. So Dylan Thiemann was flown in earlier today as the 25th pick that the Bears selected in the first round of the draft. So we're just waiting to get the official word on who the Bears have selected here with their pick in the second round of the draft. I was really hopeful that Kate McDonald of Ohio State would have been there, but you know that would have been a long shot hope because he was certainly a player who had the potential to come off the board in the first round of the draft last night. So I know a couple of you mentioned that you're hoping, as I'm looking at the text line here, hoping the Bears may trade back and acquire even more picks. You know, some of you not necessarily eager to see Garrett Bradbury, you know, be the guy as the starting center, or at least thinking the Bears may be able to utilize some of the additional draft capital to bolster the interior of the offensive line. And there's certainly a number of offensive linemen who could make sense for the Bears at some point on night two here, but I don't know for sure that this is what, you know, that this spot at 57 is where the Bears would go with that. But we will certainly see in a moment who the selection is for the Bears. I'm seeing some of the reaction here from the Twitch mob. And if some of this is accurate in the Twitch feed, there'll certainly be a player that I've covered closely here. Don't know how accurate it is yet. So we'll continue to check social media and certainly wait until we get the official word from the commissioner as well. But let me see. And I looked this up on Twitter, and Tyler and David, you guys certainly feel free to check Twitter as well. Okay, so we've got Brad Biggs. He has said it. Biggsy has put it on Twitter at this point. He's saying the 57th pick of the draft is Logan Jones from the University of Iowa. Brad Biggs saying the Bears are selecting the center from the Hawkeyes. Now, schematically, stylistically, this pick, and there's no reason to think Brad Biggs, he wouldn't put it on Twitter if it's not accurate, so we're more than comfortable going with Biggsy on that one. But assuming that is the case, Logan Jones, a player who honestly followed in a very similar career trajectory to Tyler Linderbaum, with Tyler Linderbaum now the highest paid center in NFL history, his path as an Iowa Hawkeye began on the defensive side of the football. And then he became a multi-year starter and ended up winning the award for the best center in college football. And now he's delivered on all that promise that was there for him during his time in the NFL. Now, of course, we know how things have played out for the Bears on the offensive line, where because Drew Dahlman ended up surprisingly retiring, then the Bears made a quick move, and I thought a really salient move. Now, I know there was a 708 texter saying the Bears have the worst starting center in the National Football League. I certainly don't think that's the case. Garrett Bradbury was the starting center for the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl last year, played a lot of winning football last season or earlier in his career for the Minnesota Vikings. But the system that the Bears run offensively, that outside zone running scheme, that really does suit a zone run scheme center from the collegiate level. And there's no coach in college football that's had more success using the zone run scheme than Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes. So Logan Jones has done that at a very high level throughout his college career. And he, just like Tyler Linderbaum, was a player who began on the defensive side of the football. Logan Jones came to the Hawkeyes as a defensive lineman, played games as a defensive lineman, and then made the transition over to offense. He's about 6'3", 300 pounds, extremely mobile player. And at the center, just like we saw Drew Dahlman executing in the Bears offense last season, you've got to be able to get out of your stance, overreach the interior defensive lineman across from you. That's a big part of being able to execute the zone, because when you get quick penetration, it forces the running back to belly. We use that term belly. It means that the running back isn't able to advance on the line of scrimmage at his desire, it's at the pace that the defense allows. So when you get penetration quickly from inside, then that running back has to change his angle and adjust moving backward before he can advance on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage. So when you, as a center, can overreach that defensive tackle, if you're swift enough in your footwork, sudden and quick enough to snap the ball and then get around that defensive tackle, now you can be in a position to not allow that quick penetration on the inside. That can help the path of the running back as he begins his footwork laterally and then advances on the defense at his will. That's where the zone run scheme can either be thwarted by the defense with quick penetration or offensively, where you can set yourself up for immediate success by the path and the patience of that running back. You'd like to be slow to it and fast through it. Work lateral briefly and then advance on the opposing defense. Logan Jones has shown throughout his time in Iowa that he can execute that at a really high level. That's a part of where his athleticism really comes in to play. So the fact that he's right around 6'3", right around 300 pounds, for some offenses in the National Football League, that would be viewed as a negative. Not so much so for the Bears, though. 6'3", 300, that's right around the same range in size as Drew Dahlman. And the good thing with Logan Jones is he's about as physically mature as you could hope for a college football player to be, because he did end up returning to Iowa City for another season. When he had the potential to go to the NFL the previous year, he came back and joined the Hawkeyes for one more year last year and had another exceptional season that he put together and was the quintessential leader for the Hawkeyes up front. And the fact that from an athletic perspective, his profile, yes, he played center the entire time after transitioning over from offense became a center on the offensive side of the football. But there's not a doubt in my mind that you could see Logan Jones at least have that ability to cross train as an offensive guard as well. It's not something he did at Iowa, but I'm confident it's something he's certainly capable of because of his athletic profile. So the Bears, with their second round pick, the 25th pick, in the second round of the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Logan Jones out of the University of Iowa. So now this is the center that folks are hoping for, because he won't be a guy who comes in and immediately is able to overtake Garrett Bradbury as the center for the Bears. But you do bolster, you solidify some additional depth for how you operate up front. So this pick for the Bears, this is Ryan Pohl sticking to what he was talking about. He mentioned that he wanted to go with the best player available. So even though many of us felt like the Bears needed to prioritize defensive line, needed to look for some of that additional help up front on defense, this is Ryan Pohl saying he felt that strongly about Logan Jones and what he brings to the table as a center, as an interior offensive lineman, as an extremely versatile athlete, and a guy who can be someone at the point of attack, and as he ends up moving to the second level, that gives you that potential. Now, second round pick, I think it's in the conversation for whether or not there is a competition at center, or is this now just someone who solidifies you up front? Really fascinated to hear from Ryan Poles on just the thought process behind the center position in round number two after going out and getting Garrett Bradbury in free agency. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Looking forward to your reactions to the Chicago Bears making the first of their multiple second round picks using that on center Logan Jones. I am Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y. And if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.